punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark. Little different situation with the weather today. Currently, looks like slap out and Beaver, you're the coldest in the state at 33 degrees. Hollis, capital of Harmon County, is 43. Altus is 41. Fort Cobb, you're 38. Camargo, 37. Arnett, 34. Woodward, 34. And what does the winds look like outside? They're nice. Not a good day to go water skiing. Winds are out of the north at 18 miles an hour with wind gusts up to 25. And it's just a straight wind out there. We do have a freeze warning for tonight. Please unhook your water hoses and anything else is going to freeze up. You got some chemicals out there that are water-based. Better get them inside because it is going to be 20 degrees tonight, so it's going to get pretty chilly. All right, today is a great day. It started out really good with the major from Cooperton showing up. Joel Heinzroth, did I get that right?
Yes, sir.
Just minutes prior to the show, these three lovely kids walked in with two bowls of stew, cornbread, and we were talking about it. They were on the show the other day from Canute. Kyron Winery and Kim Harris and Jade Gray, they walk in with food. It don't get any better than that. And guys, you don't know how much I really appreciate it, and so is Joel. And
thank y'all for y'all's service.
And we, it smells good. Mm-hmm. We've had to put security guards at the door so the other people in the studio don't come in here stealing our food or try to rob us. But anyway, you guys talked about it the other day on the show that what you were doing for veterans this week, and today is serving meals.
Yes.
Can you tell me a little bit about what's going on today at Canute? Did you say they're serving in the library?
Yes, we're serving all the veterans in the library from start at 11 to 1 o'clock, and then any meals being delivered to the ones that could not make it.
That'd be me?
Yes,
Joel. We are live on Facebook. If you guys want to see the beautiful faces of these kids that delivered this food, it means a lot. I just come back from the Merritt Gymnasium, and they had their veterans program this morning, and it was really touching. They had the raising of the flag on the gym floor, the unfolding, doing it, the FFA chapter. There was two of them, and I know their name, Mr. Hightower and Miss Barnett. I get cloudy when on the show. So anyway, they did the unfolding of the flag, raising the flag. The kids sang a song, the choir did, and the girl that did the national anthem, she made me get goosebumps. And I don't know her name, and I'm sure somebody will text it in to me. Honestly, don't know who she is, but she did very good. And then Billy Bashaw, who's a veteran, Marines, he was the guest speaker today, talking about his experience in boot camp and what he did. And he was a soldier during the 9/11, and I guess he was in that area when it happened, when the towers went down. So it was pretty touching. And then they had some kids, forever veteran that went to school or was kin to somebody that was a veteran from Merritt. They come down there, they announced every one of them and showed their pictures up on the big screens and put a flower in each wreath. It was pretty touching. So, and then you guys just, now I gotta cry. So thank you very much.
You're welcome.
So anyway, you guys be safe going home.
Thank you for your service.
All right,
thank you for your service.
Thank you all.
All right. So anyway, it was touching. It shows people cares, and we don't want nothing special from nobody, but when people do something special, it's pretty good, ain't it?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So anyway, well, Joel's going to help me with the show today. I was just going to have him on for a couple segments, but he showed up like any military guy would, an hour early. So I got to get it prepared so where he can help me do the show today. First of all, Joel, tell everybody where you're from, where you're raised, where you're, what you did in the military, and then we'll talk about what you're doing after the military later on the show.
Okay. Well, I was blessed to be born and raised on a family farm in Iowa. Last of six kids. We farmed.
You're the baby.
Yep, I was the mistake. My folks were in the 40s.
I was too.
There was
supposed to be
five, and
there was only supposed to be nine in mine. They ended up 10th.
Well, it was funny. My mom always said, "Well, we weren't going to have you, but Dad would get me a new washer and dryer, so it was all good." So, the farm's still in the family, but unfortunately, my father passed away in a farm accident right after I got commissioned in the Army. So I left the farm, went to Northwest Missouri State through and did a ROTC. Right. And got commissioned as a...
Where's the Northwestern at?
It's in Marysville.
Marysville,
yeah,
that's it.
North of St. Joe.
Yeah,
so.
I deer hunted in that area.
Oh, it's beautiful country.
Yeah.
God's country is...
It is.
I mean, it's just
but oaks and walnuts.
Beautiful trees.
Little prairies through the deals, and the cows can eat green grass year-round.
Year-round. I mean, it's amazing country. But I graduated from there, was commissioned as a second lieutenant in the field artillery. And then went to Fort Sill, home of the field artillery.
Yep.
In 97, did both cannon and rocket there, and even did a stint as a basic training XO. So I was at...
How was that?
It was...
Different.
It was different. To go from a college student to a lieutenant being yelled at by... I wasn't yelled at by my drill sergeants, but, you know,
They talk loud.
Well, they talk loud, and they'd call me the hippie lieutenant because... my head wasn't completely shaved and stuff like that, but it was a really great learning experience for me coming off the farm, just to see ground level how a soldier's built from day one.
Yep.
And then got the chance to go to Korea, and being a historian by trade, I was able to finagle my way into the 7th Cavalry. They were stationed up along the DMZ with North Korea, so I was assigned there right before 9/11. Came back right as 9/11 happened, and then it just became a blur after that.
I'm sure.
I mean, it was, you know, it was deployed. I got assigned to 3ID for the invasion, and got to live the dream of sitting out in Kuwait for a month and a half waiting for the, are we going, are we not
going?
Is peace going to happen, is not?
Yeah.
You know, kind of like the stories you were telling earlier this week, just was blessed to be with a great bunch of guys.
Right.
I was a captain at that point, and I was put in charge of a small team. We were leading around people looking for the weapons of mass destruction.
Yeah, we found them in the earlier one.
Yeah, you guys took them home with you or something, because we didn't have as much luck as you guys did. But I followed 3ID all the way up to Baghdad. Was in Baghdad for 30 days. Some high adventure type stuff. Came back, and you know, it was one of those things, you know, first Gulf War, went, came back, everything was great. This Iraq War was a little bit different. I went, saw my mom, I got a phone call saying, hey, the new brigade commander wants to see you, and I'm like, uh-oh. I show up, and he's like, I need you to go to the Iran-Iraq border and take a battery. And I did the whole little, but I just got back thing.
He's like, didn't care.
And you're getting on a plane in a month.
Yeah, he didn't care.
So the second tour, I was actually a commander that time. Had 100 guys. You know, it was just one of those things. What I loved about the military was the people. I mean, it's just the people that you work with. We all raise our right hand. We all serve. And I tell you what, there were hard times, you know. You've been in combat. I mean, there's hard times, but, you know, the teamwork, the camaraderie was just amazing. And luckily for me, I brought everyone back. I had a lot of friends that, lost soldiers and stuff, so I was extremely blessed by God to be able to not only have a successful command, but bring everyone back, home to their family.
That's that bottom line, that's the important part.
Yeah, it's
it ain't about medals and being heroes.
It's about the person to the left and to the right of you.
Yep.
And then when you're a leader, it's even that much harder because you're looking out for everyone. But came back, got promoted to major, and then did one more tour over in northern Iraq, and then I came back, and my mouth kind of ended my career. I was a little more outspoken as a major than I probably should have been. So
That surprises me.
It was, you get cocky, you know. I mean, it just was one of those things that, you know, when you call a spade, you got to make sure it's the same
spade.
Rank. It's not high rank. So, but I made a good transition. I was able to find 440 acres west of Fort Sill. I was able to buy it when I came back from my second tour to Iraq. So I was actually able to get it for halfway reasonable, and I just kind of made that my next dream, because no matter how successful you are in the military, there's always
the farm boy in
there's always the farm boy in you.
Yeah.
And it always kept me sane, knowing that, hey, someday I'm going to have my own land, I'm going to run some cattle. So I retired in 2017, got me a mixed herd right now, cow-calf, and then this year I decided to dabble in the specialty breed. I bought a Wagyu bull and a couple cows, so I kind of learned from you as far as trying to sell beef, you know, instead of going to the sale barn. If you got good genetics, you know, just stand behind it, feed it out, and let your... And luckily, you know, like you said to those kids, we're in a great part of Oklahoma.
Yeah,
I mean, great part of the country. I mean, you know, the people here are just amazing. You know, that's kind of, I'm kind of home now. I mean, I was raised in Iowa, but for me, Cooperton is home for me now, Western Oklahoma.
Yeah, and it's a little different from Cooperton to Iowa.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Well, we're going to take a break here, and when we're going to come back, him and I are going to talk about the futures on grain and cattle. And talk about some other stuff. I got the report from Woodward yesterday, and we're gonna talk a little bit about just see his opinion, not just mine, on difference between winged and unwinged calves. And this year, usually this ain't a conversation, but this year it is. When last year it was kind of a conversation. Anyway, hope you guys are enjoying the show. Joel and I'll be back right after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Wouldn't it be great to partner with a feed company that knows all about the cattle industry? A company that owns and raises cattle themselves? A company that knows the blood, sweat, and tears you put into the operation every day? That company is Hobart Farm and Garden. They are your local high-pro feeds dealer providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, and sacks. Visit them online at HobartFarmingGarden.com.
They're built better. They are tough. It's heavier steel, rubber flooring. They're framed in differently. Their tires come 18-ply. You could drive through a mesquite patch. These things are just built to use out in the thick of things. If you're going to catch a cow out in the middle of a section, you're going to drag a huge trailer out there to her. Farmers and ranchers love Hughes trailers, and we've got them. Cattle King Manufacturing. We're 2 miles south of the golf course here at Elk City on Highway 6. On Facebook, just search Cattle King Manufacturing. 303-4246.
Good afternoon, great stewards of the land. This is Drew Cobb with your Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, November 7th. 1,542 head were sold, 5 head of steers at 377 brought 231, 7 at 526 brought 166, 6 at 578 brought 162, 5 at 675 brought 163.50, 60 at 834 brought 176.50, 48 at 861 brought 180, 6 at 1123 brought 147, 5 head of heifers at 435 brought 171, 7 at 481 brought 169, 6 at 515 brought
Route 170, 71 at 585, Route 149, 4 at 618, Route 156, 19 at 648, Route 164, 50, 5 at 678, Route 144. Butcher cows were 16 to 8150, butcher bulls brought 40 to 9950, bread cows were 835 to 1175. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma, sale every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
When somebody has a claim, all they have to do is call our office. That's it. Tell me what happened, and then after that, we turn it into our claims department. We don't ask you to go out and take photographs of your vehicle. We don't ask you to do anything through an app. We turn that claim in, and our adjusters will contact you, and then we send somebody out to look at the vehicle. No matter where it may be, if you're at work, you know, we coordinate to fit your schedule. If it's something on your home, the adjuster will come out, basically do an assessment of the damage, but it's all in our hands at that point. You know, the customer's not asked to do anything. We're not going to ask you to go get any estimates or download any app, take pictures, upload all that. That's our job. We take care of every bit of that.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
If you're a farmer or rancher, you rely on a business that can help you get the things you need fast so you can get back to work. Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisei, Oklahoma is that business. They carry farm equipment, oil-filled cattle guards, and fencing supplies. How about a cattle chute or hay trailer? They've got them. You need welding supplies? They've got that too. Learn more at everettswelding.com or see their ad inside the Penny News. That's Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisei, Oklahoma.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
It hadn't warmed up any out there, if you guys are wondering. Woo, she's cool. 34 degrees, wind chill. Let's see what the wind chill is here. Come on. 27, not bad here at Elk City. Temperature 38, wind chills 27. I have your long ranger forecast for southwestern Oklahoma coming up for you, provided by Hobart Farm and Garden. Have you ever been in there?
Oh, awesome place. That's where I get all my feed.
Yeah, well, you like looking for feed. I like looking at the guns. So, but it was anyway, it's awesome place, great service,
great
and,
people.
Yeah, and then I'll have your northwestern Oklahoma and northeastern Texas Panhandle forecast coming up for you here right past halfway through our show, coming up here in about 10 minutes. I will tell you, there is some snow in the forecast for most of western Oklahoma. So FYI, get ready. Again, just a FYI for you, it's going to get really cool tonight. So get those water faucets unhooked. You never know, things might get a little cold. All right, so anyway, I'm going to go over some of the grains with you. Corn for December is 656. It's everything's in the green today except for cattle. When all the grains are in green, the cattle are in the red. It's just the way of life around here. March corn, 661. May, 661. Soybeans, 1460 for November. January, 1446. Soybean meal is December 406.30 a short ton, January is 402.50, and March is 392. Soybean oil, December 77.18, January 74.67, and March is 72.47. Hard red winter wheat, my favorite. December 9.34, it's up almost 10 today. March is 9.30. Oats for December is 385, March is 386. Cotton in the red today, but not bad. We're talking 0.001 penny down, not much, not even a hundredth of a penny down, but it's a little under 87 cents a pound for December. March is 84. All right, let's talk about, Joel, let's talk about cattle. Live cattle, December 152.17, live cattle February 153.90, live cattle for April 157.70, June is 154.22, feeder cattle for November is 177.42, and January is 179.60. All right, Joel, you kind of glanced over here a while ago when I had the Woodward Livestock Auction feeder cattle report up. And before I start quizzing you about this, compared to last week, feeder steers and heifers are mostly steady. Steer calves steady to $4 higher. Heifer calves steady to $4 lower. Demand was moderate, quality was average, and they had 4,302 head there compared to 3,500 last week. Well, while we're looking at that, you and I were talking about wing versus unwing. Usually it's not that big a deal. And up to about a month ago or 6 weeks ago, it really wasn't a big deal. And then the drought was getting worse. Feed costs haven't came down. Your water bill hasn't come down. The fuel bill actually has gone up. And so you and I were talking about the unwing versus the wing. And as you know, you listen to the show, I was talking about, you know, here lately has been 15 cents a pound difference between winged and unwing. But in all reality, that's not what am I trying to say here?
You're throwing a lot of money just for that, for a difference that is pretty much negligible once you put it all out on paper.
Right.
I mean, it's especially this year. You know,
we're not talking about working versus non-working. We're talking about just winging.
Yeah.
Feed and hay, fuel to feed them.
Medicine, you know.
Labor.
And, you know, keeping an eye on it. You know, when you're trying to keep your mama cows going and then, you know, you decide, okay, I'm going to go ahead and, on top of keeping the cows going, I'm going to go ahead and wean my herd this year and try to get a little bit more of a premium. This was just, you know, this was just not the year. And, you know, Western Oklahoma, you have to be flexible. I mean, you're just going to, you know, it's just one of those things. And like my dad always taught me, he's like, son, if you're going to raise cattle, you got to be a grass farmer.
Yeah.
You know, and you've got to manage your inputs.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he learned that the hard way. He farmed back when it was a way of life, and then it turned into a business in the 70s and the 80s. And
it did.
You know, and he was like, son, I don't know what else, I don't know anything else to do, but he was borrowing to put the crop in, hoping he'd get enough to pay the interest on the note.
Right.
To pay the note off.
And sometimes you can only pay the interest off.
And there was years we just paid the interest and, you know, go from there. So, I mean, you just have to be flexible. Don't get your heart set on any certain path. And, you know, as much as I love cattle, you know, if there ain't the groceries there for them, they got to go somewhere.
They got to go.
You got to be
a good steward of the land.
Yeah, you can't abuse your grass. I mean, I learned that lesson hard in 2012. I mean, I just had a few cows and I was just running on some grass and I was like, you know, I'm going to make it through it. I'm going to buy some liquid feed. I'm going to, you know, I'm going to haul water. I'm going to do all these things. Buy hay. And it was just by the time the end of the year came around, I did the math and it was just, you know, it was just insanity.
There went my last army check.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like, you know, small Christmas this year.
Yeah. And it was. Well, looking at some of these prices here, let's just like start here with some 300 pounders. So some 381 winged brought average 225.58 per hundredweight. Some 367 unwinged average 204.83. There's 20 cents difference.
And the amount of inputs you got to put to get to that 20 cents this year was just that bridge too far.
Yeah. And then let's skip down to some 500 weights. 569 pounders wing, 180. Where did it go? I lost my place here. There we go. 188. And then some 532s were 183. So that's not terrible. But on here, on these sheets that I read off on air here, I don't know what the quality was of any of them.
Yeah.
So then down here in the 600-pound range, we have some 673-pounders that averaged 178.79 that were winged, and some 674-pounders, just a pound heavier, averaged 170.55. That's 10 cents. So that's not bad. And then you got some Let's look at some 700 pounders. Here's some 729s, $1.83 winged, and $1.72 unwinged. So that adds up a little bit. Yeah. So it just, and then heifers are so steady. Doesn't matter whether they weigh 400 pounds or 800 pounds. They're all bringing somewhere between $1.60 to $1.80. But I think heifers next year is going to be young cows are going to be a gold mine.
They're going to be hard to find, and you're going to have to pay, you know, it. And then if you try to go older, you're going to pay, you know, I'll get that 5-year-old cow, you're going to be paying what you would have paid 2 years ago for a 3-year-old cow. Yeah. So, and I mean, it's just.
So if you do have some grass right now ain't a bad time to buy some 2 to 4-year-old cows, if you can find them.
If you can find them.
Yeah, that aren't slaughter material.
No.
And then we got, because this happened back in 2012, about 2015 bred cows, $2,500 to $3,500. Bred heifers were, I don't even remember what they was, but they were high.
Sky high.
It was stupid.
But, you know, we got the grass that came back. We had good rains the next couple years, and it just, that demand just shot through the roof.
Yeah, and I'm one of those guys that paid that for some bred cows.
Yeah.
And, but they was, and I don't have any of them right now, but I have some of their daughters.
Yep.
And I actually, so, it's a, we'll come back, let's talk about some cattle genetics. I was explaining to my brother-in-law, who's a doctor up in Kansas City. He was trying to ask. He was asking me how the beef that we have now. I sent him some of those from some of our beef here, and he's ate all over the world. I mean, he's a rich dude. He's a good dude, though. He's from Oklahoma too. And anyway, he calls me and said, I've ate steaks at some of the most expensive steakhouses in the country. He said, that ribeye and that Kansas City strip, I won't ever mention a New York strip. It's a Kansas City strip. I don't give a hoot who you are. I almost cussed. But anyway, he said, him and my sister both would just, oh my God. So now they're buying some beef from me. And he wanted to know how this is all going. And I was telling him, I said, you know, I have Jimmy Taylor on here and other cattle people that come on here. They're doing DNA on their heifers. They're doing checks on their bulls. They're matching bulls with cows and getting the marbling and the ribeye and the milk production of a cow. It's amazing what you can do nowadays. There shouldn't be any bad beef out there.
No, not at all.
Yeah. So anyway, and we'll get into your Wagyu anyway. So because that was really good. Joel brought everybody here. He brought an ice chest full of beef up here. And I ain't going to lie, I only got one package. These rest of these heathens up here were like piranhas in that ice chest here. I don't even know where the ice chest is.
That's all right.
So, anyway, but he brought us some. That was
purebred.
That was pure Wagyu. Anyway, yeah, I ain't going to lie, it was good. So anyway, we'll be right back after this, and we're going to talk. Joel and I are just going to talk, and I'm going to get into him a little more on his military service, because when I had the famous legend Donnie Walker on here the day before yesterday, he was talking about that hip shoot. Well, I had a lot of text messages that day and yesterday, even when during the show, about explaining a hip shoot. I'm going to have you help me explain that. Because it's not hard to explain, but what is it Rooster Cockburn said on his show, that movie, when he was, what was the older lady that...
Catherine Hepburn.
Yeah, Catherine. What would he say? Windage in elevation.
Windage in elevation, missus.
Yeah. So, anyway, we're going to get into that right after that. We're going to have a little fun today. We'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
When you shop locally for Christmas, you not only give, you receive. You receive great service from people who know you, and you receive the added value of helping our local economy. Shop locally this year. First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre. Together we grow. Online at fnbec.bank.
Give to get, Great news, folks. Ron Hayes here to let you know SEI Agritech in Elk City is now your livestock nutrition center dealer. This is better quality feed and minerals for your cattle, horses, sheep, and goats. Plus, at SEI Agritech, you can buy everything from bulk to 50-pound bags. Call or go see SEI Agritech today about your feed and mineral needs. Their number, 580-225-0317. 580-225-0317. Better feed, better results.
Again, good afternoon, great stewards of the land. This is Drew Cobb with your Elk City Livestock Auction Market report for Friday, November 4th. 2,359 head were sold. 3 head of steers at 323, brought 246. 7 at 489, brought 198. 4 at 544, brought 170. 13 at 576, brought 186. 18 at 640, brought 167. 6 at 659, brought 161. 4 at 926, brought 160. 14 head of heifers at 430, brought 189. 6 at 483, brought 159. 50. 7 at 528, brought 163. 10 at 612, brought 156.50. 13 at 620, brought 154.50. 10 at 777, brought 155. 10 at 854, brought 153. Butcher cows were 40.50 to 85. Butcher bulls brought 66.50 to 100. Bred cows were 825 to 1100. Pairs brought 1100 to 1575. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. to consign. Call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
The family is getting together, and you're ready to celebrate the holiday. You deserve to look your absolute best when you arrive for your celebration. The new 2022 Cadillac Escalade will turn everyone's head when they see this distinguished, unmistakable, iconic SUV from Cummins Cadillac in Weatherford. It's the best, and the flawless features have impeccable style. Drive away today and get the look you deserve. Best Cadillac experts in Western Oklahoma. See firsthand at Cummins Cadillac in Weatherford, exit 84, or learn more at CumminsCadillac.com.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards Weekly Cattle Sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
Cattle have to eat. When grass runs short and you want to strengthen your herd, go with HiPro. For HiPro, go to Cowman's. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply in Erie specializes in bulk feed. It's always in stock and prices are good. And the way they take care of you is even better. If Gary Mills says he'll do it, it gets done every time. It's nice to know a place like Cowman's is around to help ag producers here at home. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply, 117 West 2nd in Erie. Call 526-3070.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, anybody out there looking for some triticale? About 100 bushels? Don't go anywhere. As soon as I get through this forecast, I'll tell you where you can find some. This guy texts in, and I'll let you know here in just a second. 34 currently at the airport at Woodward. Winds are 16 miles an hour out of the north with winds gusts up to 23. Wind chills 24 there. Humidity is 44. Today, chance of sprinkles and flurries. High 41. Tonight, freeze warning, 20 degrees. Tomorrow, warms up nicely to 53. Tomorrow night, 29. Sunday's 53. Sunday night, 28 for a low. 20%. Chance of rain or snow. Monday, 60% chance of rain or snow with a high of 41. 23 again Monday night, so but the freeze warnings come back out. Pretty soon we'll be getting into weather where I don't even have to announce freeze warnings because you'll just know it. How's that? Tuesday, 43 for high. It's just going to be, hey, it's November. Guess what tomorrow is? I almost forgot. Because I really don't care. But tomorrow's opening day of quail season.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I just, I do care. Don't get me wrong. I lost my dog, so I'm not in the mood. So anyway, let's check this out. Got a text message in from a listener. Says, thank you, veterans. I have about 100 bushels of triticale left at 30 cents a pound. Cheyenne, it's at Cheyenne. Got to take it all. Ain't selling you 10 bushels, ain't selling you this. You're going to take all 100 bushels. You want, if you're interested, write this number down, 580 580-445-7276. 580-445-7276. Because I know there's some guys out there like me that ain't got their wheat, rye, or triticalion. How's that? But next week, you're going to hear me going, I broke down putting my wheat in. I did. I had a major breakdown night before last. I actually thought it was a return hose on my hydraulics on my 4960 John Deere. I mean, I lost all hydraulic fluid like lickety-split. It wouldn't lift the tailgate up on the baler. So parked it. Yesterday we got out there. Gary showed up right before we start thrashing peanuts, where they were thrashing peanuts when I got there. And anyway, we figured it out. On a 4960 on the three-point, it's got a lift cylinder.
Yes, sir.
And it blew all the O-rings around that lift cylinder. And you talk about draining your hydraulic system in a hurry.
Instantly.
Well, it's a mess. Ain't gonna be no quick fix, and I've never messed with one of those cylinders on that because there's no hoses. Unpin it, take it up here to Midwest or John Deere, get it fixed. This thing's complicated, or it is for me. So I got to get that fixed. So I got that was about $200 worth of hydraulic oil down the drain. I fertilized Gary's peanut field for him next year with hydraulic oil. Anyway, I got to tell you about my adventures yesterday in the peanut field. So we had two pull behind thrashers going, peanut combines going, and then we had two self-propels going, Chad's, Gary's, and Gary has three, and Chad's got one, and dude, you talk about making a swath. The peanut field went all four of those side by side. We got one of Chad's pivots done, and it was partly done. We got it finished, moved across the road on the other side of the highway, and we got done at 8:30 last night. I didn't help get done 30 minutes prior to deadline of the peanuts harvest coming in on that side of the highway. Some guy named Jimmy Clark plugged his combine up. And I have never plugged one up since I started helping Gary do that. And it's big time plugged up. And it's got lots of... So, because Chad said, Dad, make sure you take that home to make that mess. So I was like, dang, I kind of felt bad. But I don't know, there's something got hung up in that auger underneath there, and I wasn't going too fast. I didn't break a belt, thank God. And anyway, but I plugged her up good. But I want to brag on Chad's son, Carter Ripto. He went into training on running that big self-propelled peanut thrasher yesterday. And when he passed me going the opposite direction of me one day, he had that smirk, smile, looking at me. Because he knew I was filming him. And he had that, like, look at me. I'm big time now. And he was, and he did a great job. We finished up in the dark last night. And thrashing peanuts in the dark and the wind blowing, the dirt going everywhere, not the easiest chore in the world. Now, I don't know how good a job he did, but it doesn't matter. I'm just kidding. He did a really good job. Good kid. Then his mom texted me about 9:30 last night. Jancy that helps me, that's Carter's sister. She was supposed to tell me I was supposed to be at Merritt High School gym this morning at 10 o'clock. So anyway, mom told me. So when Jancy comes on next Thursday, it's not going to be pretty. Because I know she's better than that. Anyway, harvest coming to an end. I think Chad likes one more pivot over there north of Delhi, between Delhi and Sayre. But he's spreading the love back on the ground over there. So we're done. I'm 80 acres behind probably on baling. But couldn't bale last night. It's too dry, humidity, the wind. And maybe in the morning. We'll see. But Chad's gracious enough to loan me one of his tractors to hook onto my baler to finish up, because I'm not looking forward to tangling that lift cylinder on that three-point. But I at least got one friend out there that'll loan me a tractor. But the trick to it is I got a 1,000 PTO. My baler's shaft at 1,000.
Okay.
So people wouldn't borrow my baler. Dang, guess what? It might come back to haunt me
later.
Anyway, there you go. You, on the other hand, let's talk a little military here. Ag and veterans go together. Did you hear my deal the other day where 16% of America is rural, but 40% of soldiers come from that rural America.
Wow, and just like you were talking about the Ribitos, you know, farm kids coming into the military, I mean, they're a blessing. You know, they accomplish so much in their youth, helping out their family. They understand teamwork.
They have your back.
They have your back. They they run equipment already. You won't be surprised how many urban kids don't even know how to drive a car. I just got on the bus.
I'm not kidding. When I went to Fort Leonard Wood during AIT, one of them kids from New York City got into that Jeep. This is when they still had a Jeep. And a stick shift and a clutch. You talk about some clutch popping suckers. It was hilarious. Oh, yeah. And I'm sure they just kept thousands of parts for clutches in stock there. And it was funny. And they end up making good soldiers, yeah. But we could still laugh about
it.
Farm kids. Donnie and I, we were talking the other day when we went to the All-Army machine gun match at Fort Benning. I think I was back in 88. And it was the Army's and the National Guard's elite. Because during the 80s, the National Guard's role changed.
Yeah.
And President Reagan was the cause of that. And I thought it was great. You know, the National Guard and the Army Reserves need to take more of a role with the regular Army. That way they don't have to have so many regular Army troops, you know, on payroll all the time. And I don't remember what the real reason was, but just it was one of those deals that we need to work together. And so far it has.
Yeah, it's doing great.
So we was at Fort Benning, we was out on the firing line, and we were shooting the M60 machine guns. For you guys that are not familiar with the M60 machine gun, remember Rambo?
7.62.
That one with the belt?
Yeah.
That's him. That's the one. So what you did was, during competition, you would, you and your team and your coach would run 2 miles carrying the machine gun, the extra barrel, and the ammo. And you'd get to the firing line, 800 meters off. This is all open sight. All open sight. There wasn't scopes on M60s. No. And you'd set up with a tripod and blah, 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 and fire off so many rounds. And then you go to your bipod, fire off so many rounds, and then you move back 100 meters, blah, blah, blah. Well, anyway, the guys from Fort Riley, First ID, Big Red, their team was there. It's kind of complicated to explain over the radio, but the tripod on a M60 was it was a sliding mechanism where you folded it out. Well, you had to do everything just right for it to slide out to be a true tripod.
And get it mounted where it would.
And get it mounted where it needed to be, on the ground.
Yeah.
And then hook your 60 up and get everything going. This big corn-fed kid from Nebraska that was a corporal or specialist from Fort Riley, he couldn't get that thing to slide. You know what he did? Hey, and you know what that tripod looks like?
Yeah.
He put one foot on top of that tripod and bent it out, set it down, and they fired. But, hey, it took me and a 6 foot piece of 3-inch pipe for a cheater to bend that thing, and this big old corn fed kid just whoop. But anyway, that was one of my fun deals. Let's take a break, come back, we'll finish talking about military and agriculture, and we'll talk a little bit about cost and what you think about cost, and see what go from there. How's that?
Sounds good, sir.
Mr. Jerry Nine, though, what you got to say about your sale yesterday, sir?
This is Jerry Nine, owner of the Woodward Livestock Auction. For sale last Tuesday, November the 8th, we sold 811 cows, bulls, and calves. Thursday, November 10th, we sold 4,302 calves and feeders for a total of 5,113 cattle for the week. I have a cold. Maybe you can tell what I'm saying. Tuesday, better killing cows, 78 to 87.50. Thin cows bring 45 to 66.50. Bulls bring 85 to 97. 3 to 5 year old open cows to breed, 70 up to 104. 2 to 8 year old bred cows, 825 to 1160. 9 and older bred cows, 825 to 1050. Butter steer cattle, 3 to 358 steers, 197 to 229. 4 to 450, 181 to 228. 5 to 550, 166 to 203. 6 to 650, 160 to 188. 7 to 750, 160 to 183. 8 to 850 steers, 168 to 180. And 54 steers, 1905, bring 166 to 50. on our average 3352 at average 171.5 to 198.50, 4 to 450, 158 to 189, 5 to 550, 145 to 169, 6 to 650 average 141 up to 170, 7 to 750, 153 to 169.50, 48 average 18.15, bring 160.75. 859 light evers, 159 to 160, and our 9 to 950 evers, 145 to 156.50. For this Tuesday, we do have that dispersal of 150 bred cows and pairs. They're almost all black. They're 4 to 6 years old, 50 kids on the ground. We also got 50 other bred cows. We'll see you this Tuesday, 8 a.m. sharp. Thanks again, Jerry 9, and the Woodford Livestock Auction.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Red Angus is probably most commonly known for the maternal breed. More maternal type cows. A heifer lays down, has a calf. She goes over and gets the calf up instantly, and the calf goes to nursing, and they're very protective of their calves too. Benji White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
Lori White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Terry's Furniture Showroom is closing its doors, but you'll save money like never before. Everything in stock needs to go. They're selling it all. So everything in the store is 10 to 50% off. Tables and chairs, bedding, couches, sectional, love seats. If it's in the store, it has to go. No special orders, no layaways, no exchanges or refunds. But they do still have no interest financing for 12 months, and delivery is available. Terry's Furniture Showroom is liquidating the inventory. Get 10 to 50% off store-wide behind McDonald's in Elk City.
Ladies, come have fun this weekend. Over 60 vendors will have stuff you love at the Elk City Convention Center. Great smelling Scentsy items, Tupperware, clothes, makeup, and jewelry to make you beautiful, and decor to make your home beautiful. There'll be tumblers, baked goods, smoked cheeses, jellies, and a whole lot more at the Southwest Rustic Market. Plus drawings for prices both days. The Southwest Rustic Market at the Elk City Convention Center this weekend. Saturday 10 to 6 and Sunday 11 till 4. Remember, shopping is fun.
Driving happy with Fabrice Car.
You're driving home when, oh no, you hit the longest red light in town. What's this? You're smiling because your car smells amazing. You just installed a Febreze car vent clip. Ha ha! 5 weeks ago, with up to 40 days of consistent Febreze scent, those lights can stay red for as long as they'd like.
Green, happy Febreze. La 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 la.
I always tell my customers if they have a problem with my beef to tell me, but if they love it and enjoy it, tell everybody. Well, this is Monty, and I just want to encourage everybody out there to enjoy beef and eat beef. And if you have an opportunity, look into buying a half or a whole beef from a local producer like me. It's born and raised and fed right there in Sweetwater, Oklahoma. It's processed locally. We're a third-party verified, all natural, and I guarantee it to be good. Look us up on Facebook, Tucker Family Beef.
From pump to pivot, Valley Water Experts can provide efficient turnkey pumping solutions for large or small operations. From identifying a source to remote management, Valley Water Experts have you covered with the most efficient and cost-effective solutions for all your water management challenges. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com. That's Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Thank you very much, listeners. That Truth Cow is gone. If you didn't call or text the guy, you're out.
You're out. Don't waste your time.
You don't waste your time bothering him. It is gone. So, anyway, thank you very much. All right, let's look at the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast for the southwestern Oklahoma and the eastern Texas Panhandle. My show's got a big area, you know what? I got southern Kansas, all of Oklahoma Panhandle, most of the Texas Panhandle, and all of western Oklahoma.
Very diverse country.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We got it going on. Currently right now at the Elk City Mezzanite, it is 40 degrees. The winds are out of the north, 24 miles an hour with gusts up to 34. Humidity is 37. And what is the wind chill? 30. It's airish out there. Today for Veterans Day, 42 for a high. Tonight, 23. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and 49. Tomorrow night, 27. Sunday, 49. Sunday night, 20% slight chance of rain and snow, low of 30. Monday, high of 39, and 70% chance of rain and snow. And Monday night, 26, and Tuesday, 43. Only thing good about this freeze we're having tonight, it's going to dry my corn out down there towards your, about halfway between here and there, down there where you're at. Yeah. So anyway, yeah, it's gonna, I hope it does, needs it. It's not, the moisture's still above 30. I need it to be around 15 or 16. And, but the good thing about it, do you see where I posted on Facebook where I was showing the girls in here how to take high moisture corn kernels, roll them out, sprinkle salt on them, and put them in there in the oven and bake them, and they get corn flakes or corn chips. Yeah. Next year, I'll show them how to make cornflakes. Somebody's going to shoot me in this office before this is all over. All right. So I had a lot of requests or just curiosity. Donnie brought up this hip shoot, and I'm really surprised he did. But you're in the artillery. You know 8-inch, 155, 105, MLRS. You know it all. You've been there. So if people remember back during Desert Storm, Saudi Arabia went in there and built this big berm between there and the neutral zone in Iraq. Well, the official ground war, they dug up, they opened up that berm, and the 7th Corps out of Germany, that's who we were assigned to over there. I mean, I think it was 1st ID, 3rd ID, 2nd Cav, 3rd Cav. I don't remember who all was assigned to it, but it was big. And 5,000 vehicles went through that berm. Artillery's always the last. Yeah. We need a little range between, a little distance between us and the enemy. And I don't even remember what the minimum distance was on the rocket launchers. Or was it 4 or 5 kilometers?
Yeah, 4 or 5 kilometers, but yeah. That was like danger close.
Yeah, that was stupid close. Yeah. I wouldn't have wanted to been around. No. Especially with me at the helm.
Well, and those rockets aren't the most accurate. I mean, they're an area fire weapon.
Yeah, they're 12 rockets will cover a full square mile.
Yes, sir.
And you don't want to be in that mile. No. So anyway, get on with the show. And anyway, we were going through there, and all of a sudden, I was standing up in the spill, and my gunner is in the middle, and my driver over there driving. And all of a sudden, Burkhart goes, "Hey, we need to update." So we hadn't started through the berm yet. And we update, and we got to update because it has the gyro radar.
You have to update because you have to know where you are and to know where you're shooting it.
Yeah,
and it's all GPS.
Yeah, and it's all new with satellites. So anyway, we update it, and we were going through there. And Donnie said he was the last to go through, but he doesn't remember passing me when I was updating because his spills didn't update. That's the reason why I'm surprised he brought this up.
Yeah.
And anyway, we going through there, man, was going. They cleared the mine sweepers. It cleaned out just a path.
Yeah.
And we're going through there, and Sergeant Burkhart starts pulling down on me. He said, "Hey, we got a fire mission." I was just laughing at him. I didn't believe him. You know, it's in the books, the hip shoot. But anyway, carry on, get this over with before I ran out of time. Yeah. He pulled on me a second time, and then he said, "We got a fire mission." So my job is to set the spill up to make sure it's aimed in the right direction, so we're not firing at friendlies. Yeah. And I get out, hit my compass. I got to get away from all that metal to do my deal.
Get set on the line of fire.
Get the line of fire. Get back in there. And this, on the computer, it said, "Cinema 12-pack. And I was like, yeah. And this is the first time. This is all digital.
Yes.
So my spill was the first spill ever in field artillery history I didn't know this till last year.
Really?
First field artillery to ever go fully digital, not voice command. Yeah. Hey, Sergeant Clark, give him a couple rockets over here and then hit the road.
Yeah, for 300 years, it was all voice.
Yeah, it was all voice. This was the first time ever, and this was back in 91. And I didn't know this till I ran into General Hobb, who was my battalion commander at the time, at a golf tournament at Weatherford. And he said, "You didn't know you did that?" I said, no, I didn't. I said, "I know my commander wanted to shoot me when I opened my door because he thought I was being a John Wayne." So anyway, that's so a hip shoot is being reckless, getting a mission, set up really quick, fire, and then get the hell out of there.
In a hurry.
That's what a hip shoot is. So anyway, I hope you guys enjoy Veterans Week this week. Joel, thank you for joining me.
Thank you, Jimmy.
And blessing and happy Veterans Day to you.
Likewise, sir.
Yeah, and you guys, we'll see you next week. God bless. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.